Thank you, Rabbi Kolinsky, for the warm introduction and for the invitation for making this entire weekend possible. Just to clarify, it's true the invitation has been extended several years. The demands were never money or accommodations. The demands were my children, which were the reason I couldn't leave. And this year, Rabbi Kolinsky said, feel free to bring some of them, which is what made it possible. I'm very grateful to you and to the OU for the opportunity to be here this weekend. The truth is, I rarely go away. I have young children at home. It's hard to leave for Shabbos. I also happen to have a full-time job in a shul that expects me to be around. But I try to make an exception to be here this weekend, and I want to tell you why. And I want to do it in a way that won't come across as presumptuous. I'm not an employee of the OU. I'm not among the lay leadership of the OU. I have no official role or capacity within the OU. But nevertheless, it's near and dear to my heart, as it is obviously to yours. Because if you're in this room tonight, you are among the supporters and the pillars. You are the ones who make the magic happen that is transforming lives. And I don't mean transforming lives by having a variety of cereals or Heinz ketchup, although that too is transforming lives. The ability for Jews to go anywhere in the country and have a supermarket where there are thousands of products that are kosher should not be underestimated or minimized. But I mean the changing of lives, obviously through the amazing work that the OU does. But I want to tell you why I'm here this weekend, why I agreed, why the OU, I think, is really a solution to what is an only increasing problem in the Jewish world today. I have a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, a Rebbe from my time in Yeshiva in Israel, who was a very complicated personality. And his Talmidim, we as Talmidim, struggled to figure out exactly where he fits. On the one hand, he sends his children for a Haredi education. On the other hand, he himself teaches in progressive Jewish women's institutions. On the one hand, he identifies and he was educated in the right-wing world. And on the other hand, he very much embraces the miracle of the modern state of Israel with Tzionut. And so Talmidim would challenge him, Rebbe, what world do you belong to? Help us understand you. Help us figure you out. And he has an answer that he's given, an answer that stuck with me, an answer, I think, that is so critically important in our day. He would turn to his Talmidim and he says, when I die, you can put me in a box. Until then, don't slap any of your artificial labels on me. I don't fit neatly into a box. Even if that's inconvenient for you, don't try to make me conform. When I die, you could put me on a box. As long as I'm alive, I don't fit in any box. And we're living in a world where the extremists have lined up, be it in politics, be it in religion, be it even in sports, in every area of life and living, Jewish and secular. The extremists have lined up and they've created their lanes and their neatly delineated boxes, and they're trying to force us in them. Are you a conservative, a progressive, a Republican, a Democrat? Do you, and I'm careful, I'm not going there, do you love Trump? Do you hate Trump? Where are you religiously? Are you part of this segment or this camp? Or what yarmulke do you wear? How do you identify? Where do you send your children to school? Whether it's religiously, politically, and in so many other areas, people are trying to force us into boxes. And that is disastrous. It is a violation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Almighty's will, for us and for the lives that we live, and that's evident from the parshios that we're reading now. Yaakov Avinu had no fewer than 12 children, 12 shvatim, 12 separate, parallel, equally legitimate and valid perspectives of how to live as a Jew. The shvatim had their own personalities and their own attributes. They had their own talents and they had their own skills and they had their own challenges and their own liabilities, and their father Yaakov doesn't hesitate to share them with them in the form of brachos, rather than give a bracha, very unusual brachos. Tells some children, you're impetuous and you need to work on that, based on this week's parsha, the way they react to defending their sister Dina. But Yaakov doesn't hesitate to give brachos to his children in the form of telling them what they need to work on, but he respects and recognizes their differences. And that's our Mesorah, Shivim Panim LaTorah. There are 70 faces to Torah. Now, of course, there are boundaries to what is legitimate, and that is not for now. What are the boundaries, and who is among those 70 faces of Torah, and what are considered legitimate among the Shvatim is not for now. But what's interesting is that the Beis HaMikdash, our holiest place on earth, the place where we turn to for the journey towards Ruchnius and spirituality, had not 12, but 13 gates. Yud Gimel Sha'arim, 13 gates to enter the Beis HaMikdash. The 12 corresponded with the Shvatim, 12 corresponded with each of those tribes who encamped in the journey through the Midbar under their own emblem and their own logo, under their own flag. and their own designated seat assignment. And if someone said, you know, I identify more with that shevet, they weren't allowed to change. Because each one had to stay true to who they were, and there are legitimate differences. But the Beis HaMikdash had a 13th entrance, and it was known as the Shar HaKolel. It was an entrance for people that didn't fit neatly into one of the Shvatim, who didn't know spiritually where they descended from, who couldn't identify what shevet they were part of. There was one umbrella, Shar HaKolel. Nusach Ari, the Arizal, composed a Nusach. He argued that his Nusach corresponds with the Shar HaKolel. We have Nusach Sfarad, Nusach Ashkenaz, we often have Nuschos, Temani, and the Ari created the Nusach Ari, which he said was the Shar HaKolel of Tefillah. For those who don't know where they belong, everyone belongs to that Nusach, and it's not a coincidence, the one embraced by Chabad, for people who don't know where they come from, they all can feel that they belong. But it's this 13th gate which I want to bring to your attention, that I think we desperately need in our time, maybe more than ever. We are living in a period of the death of nuance. We are living in a time of the death of complexity, where everyone thinks that others need to fit neatly into a paradigm or into a box, as we spoke about. You either totally get it because you agree with me, or you're totally out of your mind and crazy because you disagree with me. And the opportunity for you to view things with nuance and complexity and say, you know, I live with tension. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. I see the merit and the virtue to both sides of the argument, and I'm not sure. Or I'm able to live with multiple truths simultaneously. And as an illustration, but certainly not to go into the world of politics, to give you an example. A community of people who are able to simultaneously say that this president has done extraordinary things for Israel, for which I will forever be grateful, and yet, simultaneously, I have grave concerns about aspects of his character or behavior and the long-term impact on our country. We live in a world that says, no, you either have to love him entirely, and if you don't, then you don't love Israel or the Jewish people, you're a self-hating Jew, or you have to hate everything about him, because if you say anything supportive or encouraging or appreciative, you must be a racist, bigoted, misogynist. But what about the community of people who say, it's complicated, it's nuanced. I have multiple views simultaneously. There's a tension and there are multiple truths. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, and Daf Yitesh Lamed Aleph, the name of Rav Chisda, Kol Alome Mirav Echad, a person who only learns from one Rebbe, Eino Ruah Simen Ba'olam, will never see blessing. The Gemara says, we have to expose ourselves to multiple ways of thinking, to consider multiple perspectives, to hold true and hold on desperately to complexity and nuance, to be able to see the virtue of multiple perspectives, to create a community and to elevate a voice of those who are not living in a binary world of this or that, but are living in a world where things are not so simple, where there's gray, where there's a 13th entrance, the Shar HaKolel, for the people who can take the best of all 12 Shvatim, who can extract the best of all worlds, who can live in that complicated space and that complicated sphere. To me, that's the beauty of the OU. It is an umbrella and a network of the range of our Orthodox community and well beyond, as Moshe spoke about also before. It's a place for those who want to be part of a community of complexity and of nuance and of a diversity of ideas and perspectives and of Jewish living, to feel comfortable and to focus on what we have in common, not our differences. And in an increasingly polarized world and a binary world of either this or that, it's a place that we can continue to talk and work together, that we're not outshouted by one another, by the extremes trying to force us into a box, but that we can be comfortable with the tension of how complicated and complex this world is. We'll read in this week's parsha, this coming week's parsha, that the brothers, Vayisnu'u Oso, they hated Yosef. It's not just that they didn't love him. It's not that they were parav or neutral towards him. Vayisnu'u, they hated their brother. Ad kidekach, until the point the pasuk says, lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom. That's a very clumsy expression, and the mefarshim struggle to understand it. What does it mean, lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom? So Ibn Ezra says, lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom means, afilu l'shalom. They got to a point they couldn't even give him a shalom aleichem. They passed him in the street, they looked the other way. They tried to email or text, they ignored it. Lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom, they couldn't even afilu l'shalom. Hatred, animosity, contempt, judgmentalness, marginalizing others, name-calling, this binary world where people are either with us or against us, and there's no room or space for those who disagree. It increases the sense of hatred that lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom. It is so dangerous and so pernicious that we can't even give one another a shalom aleichem. And when we read that story in the Torah, we can't even imagine such a society where Jews who face such external enemies, like we just talked about happened in Beverly Hills here this Shabbos. Could you imagine this shul and that shul and the other shul, lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom? Our enemies, meanwhile, are lumping us all together in their newly renewed sense of hatred and anti-Semitism towards us, but we are our own worst enemies. We're lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom, afil l'shalom. We've gotten to the point that if you voted for that person, or if you wear that yarmulke, or you identify with this community, or you disagree with me on this, I can't even give you a shalom aleichem. How many families have members who aren't talking to one another anymore because they disagree on politics? How many families can't sit together for a Shabbos meal or a Yontif or a secular holiday? Or you have to be very careful who you sit where at a simcha because they can't even talk to one another. Lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom, afilu l'shalom. They can't even give each other a shalom aleichem. That is the demise of our people. It is the end. Rabbi Yonasan Leibschitz, in his Sefer on Chumash, says lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom actually includes the antidote and the solution with this I end. He says, lo yachlu ledabro l'shalom means, lo yachlu ledabro shalom. When you stop talking, you'll never achieve peace. The foundation of the ability to live together and to transcend our differences and to create a community of diversity is to promise that we will always talk to one another, that we will never stop communicating, and we'll never put an end to the conversation, and we'll never silence the freedom of ideas and the ability to disagree, and will never try to squeeze or force others into a box and not recognize or respect people's right to think the way they do. It's complicated because I feel very strongly there are boundaries to what's legitimate, and not anyone who says they want to be part of the conversation is entitled to be there, and that's a separate, very, very complicated conversation about who's in and who's out. But we can certainly talk about everyone we know, the range of people who are within. And we can't make that range and that place narrower and narrower, smaller and smaller, to the point that we're talking to fewer and fewer people. Because lo yachlu ledabro, the moment that we stop speaking, we can't have shalom. And we desperately need shalom. We need to be that community. In this increasingly polarized world, in this binary world of this or that, with me or against me, we, the Torah community, have to be the model to the world of making a safe space for people who disagree or who live with nuance or tension, or simultaneously see the complexity of ideas without trying to silence others and without stopping to be able to say shalom aleichem. Yisrael Meir Lau, who I think was here in LA last Shabbos, said in March of the Living, in Poland last year, he said, you know, for 2,000 years, Jews have learned to die together. It's time that we learn to live together. And it's so sad that our enemies are arranging and organizing and renewing their efforts against us. That, if there's any silver lining, should motivate us to come together as a community. Because our enemies don't care how you voted, and they don't care where you are on abortion or gun control or the settlements in Israel or any other hot button issue. Our enemies only care you're a Jew, and if that's what they care, that's what we should care about. And Amir Tashem, we should be Zocha, we should merit to not need to squeeze anyone into a box. We'll all be there one day after 120. Until then, we shouldn't live in a box or force anyone to be there either. To feel comfortable not only living among the 12 Shvatim, but allowing the Shaar HaKolel, the 13th gate, for those who draw the complexity from elsewhere. To be a community who are always, always, Dabro L'Shalom, and therefore to live with that peace and harmony among us. Shavua Tov.